Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, incarceration, a badge of honor. Has incarceration become a badge of honor and for many a rite of passage? But to what? From Common Dreams and The Guardian. It was an article talking about too many African Americans being in prison and it being passed on through the generations. So there was a guy in there by the name of Jeffrey Gamble. He said the luckiest day in his life was the day he had an accident. It broke his neck and became paralyzed. He said if that didn't happen, he'd probably be in jail. But he's quoted, we'll get back to what some of the other things that went on with that case, but he's quoted as saying, it's not just that we didn't fear jail. He says, but he says jail was, well, he says it was like a rite of passage. You needed to go to jail so you could have that badge of honor. So, Mr. Jeffrey was a criminal. And basically saying that if he wasn't paralyzed, he would have ended up in jail like the rest of his family members. And it was, I guess, an expectation, an aspiration to be incarcerated. So that you can have that, you need to go to jail to get that badge of honor. You ain't been in jail, I guess you're not a real tough guy, things like that, I guess. I don't know. But apparently, that's the badge of honor that he was perceiving, being incarcerated. So, you know, just want to do some basic defining of words. Like badge is a distinctive emblem. This is from dictionary. Worn as a mark of office, authority, membership, achievement, license, employment, etc. Right? You know, honor is a high respect, great esteem, adherence to what is right. Adherence to what is right or to a conventional standard of conduct. A rite of passage is a ceremony or event making an important marking an important stage in someone's life. You know, you have the birth, you have puberty where they had a sweet 16 parties, I think in a bar mitzvah for the Jewish families. You have marriage, you know, and then you have, well, they say death, right? A passage is now, you know, that's a ceremony that you have a funeral. So, just in, you know, just over the whole idea that it was like a rite of passage. You need to go to jail so you could have that badge of honor. So, fun provocative thought. As long as you are moving backwards, it will take you that much longer to move forwards. Doing time is a waste of time. That is why there is no actual ceremony and presentation of a badge of honor upon your release from prison. Maybe there is a psychological feeling of achievement, of survival in a hostile, chaotic environment. If this badge is a badge of achievement, then the bar is set very low. That is an example of internalized oppression, self-destruction. It is a perverted ideology that turns bad into good, dishonorable into honorable. Imagine living in a 6x8-foot room with a toilet in it, with or without another person, or an open setting with who knows how many inmates. Someone telling you when to get up, when to sleep, when to eat, when to have recreation, basically when to do everything you normally do without permission. Wikipedia. The 13th Amendment allows for involuntary servitude, which is slavery, if you're convicted of a crime. I don't know if too many people know about that. In 2001, the Human Rights Watch estimated that at least 140,000 inmates had been raped while incarcerated in the United States. Prison violence, assaults, murders by inmates and guards are common. From Mother Jones, 1/5 of inmates say they've been assaulted by another prisoner or a guard. That's the guys that's supposed to maintain, you know, order there and safety of prisoners and stuff like that. 19% of all inmates in U.S. prisons say they've been physically assaulted by other inmates. 21% say they've been assaulted by prison staff. Women are 7% of the total prison population. 22% of all victims of inmate sexual victimization. So this is women. They are 33% of all victims of staff on inmate sexual victimization. That's staff on inmate. That's greater than the inmate on inmate. The Department of Justice in 2001 found that the rate of inmate-on-inmate assaults was 38% higher at private prisons than at public prisons. Physical assaults and rapes were methods of buck-breaking, punishing a strong black male and satisfying the sexual appetites of those slave owners, those brutal slave owners. What they did is they basically, in front of the presence of the captive slave population, they took the strong buck that wasn't, yielding to them the way they wanted him to yield, right? So if you were, in their eyes, defiant, which is basically just being a man, they tied him over a log, stripped him of his clothes, physically assaulted him, and raped him in front of the captive population. And they would invite their friends to sexually assault him over also. That sound familiar? Captivity, they have cavity searches in prison, room searches, prison food, and the list goes on. It's just, there is no positive esteem building going on in prison for the most part. Prison is anything but a nice place to visit, even if you are really just visiting. It is no ceremony, but a sacrifice and surrender to the demons of this world to perceive incarceration as a badge of achievement and honor is to aspire to exist and receive validation in the cesspool of the society. Even a child doesn't like being sent to his room. Imagine being sentenced to prison. Prison is a place where they throw you away, keep you away from, and punish you for unacceptable behavior in violation of the criminal code. Like hell. The hell, you talk about what the devil is and all the torment and stuff is supposed to go. Well, like hell, it is intended to be a place of torment. To willfully submit to being diminished and validated by those who see in darkness and those who are imprisoned in darkness with those who celebrate your corruption, torment, and failure and partake in a not-so-brotherly brotherhood where you die mentally, spiritually, and ultimately physically is tragic, where many suffer in the wake of your being, becoming a creature you were never created to be. To quote the poet Noor, O fallen one, how long will you continue to descend into the bowels of the nation? Your tormented soul has had enough, and it is time to take your rightful place on earth. Unquote. I would like to think that success was measured by not only how well you have done, but how well you have treated others. That your quest for whatever you were after did not supersede the natural right of other human beings, including yourself. It is almost unimaginable to think that the absence of freedom would or could become an aspiring goal. A rite of passage for anyone. A place where not only you, but your enemy, your energy, is shackled and diminished. Have we fallen so low that looking up is looking down, and living an upright life is less than a fantasy, a figment of our imagination, a delusion, neither perpetuated nor manifested in our vision? Are we so blinded by our condition that we not only stumble into, but beckon, expect, accept, perpetuate our own mental, physical, and spiritual incarceration? No longer beings of the light, but becoming creatures of darkness, with eyes that cannot see, ears that cannot hear, and minds void of insight inside those great walls and long halls inside our hearts, seeking to become disenfranchised after our ancestors fought, died for what little freedom we now have. How dare you give it away, forsake it, when our very existence is a brutal rite of passage, a test of wills, a test of sanity, a test of ethics and morals, a test of life and death. How dare you draw us into this genocidal, homicidal, suicidal, spiritual ideology when we have been suffering and dying forever? How dare you choose to waste life, even your own? For your life is my life. My life is your life. Your future is my future. My future is your future. Yes, we are joined at the rib, and we are our brother's keeper. We cannot keep believing, perpetuating, and living this lie. We need brothers and sisters on the street, in the schools and colleges, in government, in their homes with their family, defending the tribe, giving hope, visions, directions, redirections toward positive goals and objectives. There's your badge of honor. If you have the strength and the internal fortitude, take it, become it. It is yours. Quote the poet Noor again, quoted as saying, if you fail to do right, you can succeed at doing wrong. And that's what that sounds like. The last poet said, better to die for a cause than to die just because. Read this article written by Zoe A. Colley. Says, ain't scared of your jail, arrest, imprisonment, and the civil rights movement. You know, imprisonment became a badge of honor for many protesters during the civil rights movement. I don't know how old my audience is. Everybody's listening, but the civil rights movement was blacks marching, protesting in the streets. Martin Luther King was one of the leaders, and you can see him on TV getting a hose, beaten, and jailed. So what they did, they took the stigma from being incarcerated away for the cause. You understand? They said no jail, jail no bail, jail in, and civil rights activists sought to transform arrest and imprisonment from something to be feared to a platform for the cause, right? So they went to jail for the cause, not just because, all right? So anyway, so just hearing that, and hearing what that brother said, you know, he felt like he had to get validation, to, a badge of honor from being incarcerated. And here we had people going to jail, getting incarcerated, and they weren't just getting incarcerated, they were getting the hell beat out of them. Hoses, water, fire hoses, dogs, all kind of stuff happening to them people, just so that we could have a better life. But and here we have people, you know, aspiring to go to jail to commit crimes and to go to jail to validate them as criminals. Is that the way that goes? Somebody explain this to me, because I don't see any kind of honor there is in perpetuating a life of crime and going to jail, the place where criminals are punished or supposed to be punished, and viewing that as a badge of honor. It doesn't go with the definition of word honor. Anyway, so we went from going to jail for a good cause to going to jail just because, without any demand for self-righteousness, respect under the law, and aspiring to exercise our right to the pursuit of happiness. How do we do that? How do we volunteer for that? How can we be happy with living in a world of utter chaos and plight? Oh, we have a caller already. I'm gonna let this caller in. Hello, caller. Welcome to
the caller has hung up.
Okay, well, he hung up. Sounds like he's still there. Okay. Call back on 8662. So as I was saying about Mr. Jeffrey Gamble, his story is very interesting. Is basically said, save his life, breaking his neck, being paralyzed. He had to be paralyzed before he would stop doing these things, you know, committing crimes. At the time of this interview, I think he was 47 years old, and his family has a intergenerational history of incarcerated crime and incarceration, which those two things go together, right? His, he had two brothers in jail, one convicted of burglary and assault with a firearm. Under the three strikes law, he's doing 110 years to life. Then he got another brother, got life without parole for the murder of a local counselor. His father was in jail for a series of alcohol-related offenses, and his son has also been in jail for dealing drugs and possession. They say in the U.S., almost 1 in 10 African-American men are behind bars. 1 in 10, that's a lot of folk. That's a lot of strength going into the cesspool. And you're in the cesspool before you get to that point. Let me see. 662, caller. Hello?
Hello? You can hear me?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah, how you doing, how you doing, brother? This is Lewis Scott. I called in
Lewis
last
Scott.
Week. I'm the one that's incarcerated.
Always good to hear from you, brother.
Yeah.
Always good to hear from you.
Yes, it's a pleasure, man. It's always been a pleasure. Oh, man. Yeah, I couldn't let this one up. I couldn't let this go. I want to commend you on speaking on this, you know, especially for someone under my circumstances. And it's unfortunate that it has gotten that stigma of being this badge of honor of being incarcerated. It's like some people look forward to that, you know, and I guess for certain audiences it is, you know, for certain people, whatever lifestyle that they indulge or they engage in, this is seen as a badge of honor, you know, just like Trump being president is a badge of honor for white supremacy, you know, and So, and this may be a badge of honor for the gangsters. You know what I mean? Like, and it's unfortunate. And I feel like you mentioned the 13th Amendment, and you know, that's why. And for those who don't know that are ignorant to that law, it's like it's clearly stated that slavery is not abolished. It's not abolished. It has never been abolished. It's, you know, when you become incarcerated, like, realistically, you know, you are a slave. You know, you're considered a slave. You know what I mean? And, you know, for lack of better words. And so I feel like when that law, you know, when they put the stamp on it, more you know, it's incarceration. I'll never forget, I did a course about being incarcerated. My professor was speaking on the topic was criminal justice. Well, the course was criminal justice, and we were speaking about mass incarceration, and she mentioned the country of Denmark having approximately 4,000 people incarcerated. Mind you, this was 2015, but you know the country of Denmark having approximately 2,000 people incarcerated. I'm here in Pennsylvania. I was in this state institution called Greaterford, where they had approximately 4,000 people incarcerated there. So you tell me that in one institution alone, we have
State Correctional Institution, Rockview.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
In one institution alone, we have approximately the same amount of people incarcerated in the whole entire country. Like that is unheard of. You know, I couldn't, and it's. I feel like it has gotten to the point where, like, you know, like, it's like they're prepping our children. You know, I fear for the young men. You know, I have nephews and things. I fear for them, you know, especially statistically speaking, you know, like, where, they, you know, they say when the parents become incarcerated, you know, it's approximately a 70-ish percent chance of the children at one point in time being incarcerated themselves. You know, so it's like they're, you know, they're like, wait, like this is like our, they're putting it in the trajectory of our past, you know, and it's so unfortunate and it's scary. It really is. And it's a real thing. Like, it's big business. They now have stocks in prison. Like, you know, everybody wants to be a part of this business. But I feel like if you think of a game of chess, the board would be nothing without the pieces. This prison would be nothing without the people in it, you know. So we educate those kids, man, and let them know, like, no, this is, know your audience. Yeah, it's a badge of honor, but for who? You know, right. Like you said, you don't really get no celebration coming from jail. You know, I can see college, I can see things like that, but no, not being incarcerated, not this,
right.
not being. It's so suppressive. It's so.
This is a call from
State Correctional Institution, Rockview.
This call is subject to recording.
The physical incarceration, being physically isolated hours away from your family, is absolute. Doesn't compare to the mental wear and tear it has on you, to the psychological wear and tear it has on you. It, you know, you're all the way down to the most minute thing of your voice being suppressed. You can't speak a certain way. You got to carry and conduct yourself when you come out robotic, and you, it's like the lack of resources out there. You know, you give them all this time and you kick them out and you expect them to be able to fend for themselves, you know. And I don't necessarily, you know, say we should do away with, you know, the system altogether, you know, because you have some people that have committed senseless acts. You know, they have done terrible things, and, you know, that, you know, in some form of way should be, you know, punished for it. You know what I mean?
Right.
However, like you said, when it's some people that have done things for a cause, and, you know, and not just because, you know, and the ones who,
right.
I feel like when the time doesn't match up to the crime, like, that's ridiculous. You know what I mean? Or when young black kids are constantly being harassed and preyed on, and, you know what I mean? Or when you build jails based off of a fifth grade test scores, you know, you can project based off of a fifth grader as whether or not he's going to be incarcerated in the near future. That's when it becomes unfathomable. That's when it becomes mind-boggling, you know. So,
right.
I don't know, brother. It's just sad, man. It really is sad. But this is not the way.
It's tragic.
Prison is not the way.
It's tragic.
It really isn't.
Prison is just one route. That's a route. It's the things you do before you, that you plan to do to get the honor by going to prison. You know, it's the lifestyle. You understand what I'm saying? So prison is just a link in the chain. So we got to break those chains. Those chains we got to break. That's why we need people on the street. You know what I'm saying? We need your home. We don't need men in jail. Men and women in jail. We don't need when that. I'm saying by that, we don't even need you going to jail. You understand what I'm saying? We need not
at
need
all.
Going there. We
at
need,
all.
We need not be aspiring to go to prison. Because if you aspire to go there, you well on your way there. You might as well just go knock on the door, tell them to lock you up.
It tell you lock in, get there, because they got a bed for you. They're still, but they tear them down. They still building them. The thing is, and I just said this to my mother. I just let her know. Listen, give these kids something to lose. Give these children, give these young black men something to lose. Young black women, something to lose. Because it's when they feel like they have absolutely nothing to lose. It's when they do, you know, irrational. They make irrational decisions. Or educate them.
Mm.
You know, give it like we don't take into account how much of an impact it can have on these children when we properly educate them on law, intervene, on stepping in and showing them, like I certain programs, like tertiary programs, like Scare Straight, we need that. We need to bring them little kids and say, listen, man, this is where this can lead you to. You know what I mean? Do it. And that's, I don't know, but I appreciate you, dude, brother. I really do, man. I really appreciate you speaking on this, and it's so true. It is so real. This is so real. And don't think you can't be a part of this statistic. And if you are, like myself, you know, if you are a part of this like perpetual cycle, like, then, you know, I recommend, like, you know, make the best out of it. Don't waste it. It's already time wasted, but try to make the best of it. You know, take advantage of everything that they have to offer, and where opportunity doesn't knock, you build a door. You know what I mean? And get out and educate. It's education, man. It really is.
That's right.
It really is education. That's where it starts at. And you got to kill the monster while it's still a baby. You got to teach them kids. Them young black little queens, them little, you know, them kings and the future kings and queens. You know what I mean? Because it could be one irrational decision, one wrong decision, and when we could have easily planted this seed in this young man or this young woman's, mindset, and possibly created the next black president, whether it be male or female.
Right.
But one wrong decision, and they can then appear. Because, with a criminal record, and that's no badge of honor I would never want to wear. That's nothing to be celebrated. That's nothing to be celebrated. Absolutely.
Sad.
So, just to add to that,
you can end up there without committing a crime. You know, everybody there that's not, you know, I know everybody in prison is not guilty. Some people are not guilty. They're in prison. They're incarcerated. Some people are not guilty.
I personally did 5 years, you know, for a crime. Like, to this day, you can tell me 1,000 years from now, and I'll give you the same story, because the truth never changes. You know, I did 5 years for something I've never done. You know, like...
There you go.
I know it happens. I've brushed shoulders with a few people who I know, like, I hear their story, and, you know, and it's pain behind that. And they don't realize, like, you know... You're victimizing these men, like, and these women, like, and their families, and their families. Like, it's wrong. It's unjust.
That's right.
It really is unjust. Like, we got to change. And it starts with us. It starts with the ones out there, you know what I mean, who has those resources. That's why I feel like the taking the men from out of the household, out of the powerful men out of the black community, is like taking the men out of the household. When you take the mother or the mother or the father, parents out of the household, the kids run rampant.
Right.
They have no, you know, no sense of morals. No, you know, they tear the house up. They probably kill each other and themselves or whatever. You know what I mean? Or they lose their way. They have no guidance. They learn from each other. It's the same way when you
right.
take the powerful, pivotal people out of our black communities. We need powerful
right.
people in our black communities to be the vanguard, you know, the forefront, to stand up, like you say, and make that change, the change that we want to see, live it.
Right.
You know, so
I'm gonna add to that because even though you might be in prison, the prison don't have to be in you. You understand what I'm saying?
Without a doubt.
You may be in custody, man. You don't have to be inside of you.
Yeah, it's a saying where you could lock my body up, but you can't put chains on my mind.
That's
no
right.
matter what, I'ma always live above these bars. I'ma
right.
always live.
That's
like
right.
I said, this. When I said the pieces is nothing on the chessboard, you know, the chessboard is nothing without the pieces in it. You know,
right.
this prison is nothing without the people in it. To me, this is real estate.
Right.
I'm here. But in the meantime, while I'm here, I'm going to make the best out of it. I'm going to take everything
right.
that I can and try to and make it advantageous to me, to try to make better
right.
me as a man. You know what I mean? To you know, as a preventative measures. You know, like you feel what I'm saying. So yeah, you can
right.
mentally. Take yourself out of this realm, you know what I mean? But I don't want it to be just to be mental. We don't want to just make them feel like they have to just mentally escape this reality. No, let's physically get out of here and stay
That's
out
right.
of here and prevent others
That's
from
right.
coming here to begin with. You know what I mean?
We have one
That's
minute
right.
left.
Yeah. That's it, brother. I appreciate it, man.
I appreciate you, man.
I always do. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
And I will be I'm here, I'm listening, and I'm speaking. And I appreciate you giving me, and I speak for all of us in here, you know. I appreciate you giving me that voice, man, this little platform to be able to be vocal. Because like I said, we're so suppressed. We're so, I'm just so glad that the liberation is in my mind, that mentally I am free.
Right.
You know what I mean? They didn't take that from me. So thank you, Bubba. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for calling up, Bubba.
Real talk. Keep the fight. Yep, no doubt.
All right. Y'all heard that, right?
The caller has hung up.
The question has become, are we really trying to make wrong right? Nobody goes to jail to earn a degree. For job training, enhance their opportunity for economic and spiritual growth. No one gets an honorable mention, as the brother said, for committing crimes that lead to their imprisonment. They can be noted to be infamous, known for bad quality, bad deeds, not famous, widespread reputation, usually for favorable nature. Okay, that's from dictionary.com. I got that definition. Note that the honorable mentions and badges are outward symbols associated with recognition for achievements other than criminal behavior. Military awards a soldier the Medal of Honor and the Purple Heart and for courage in the face of the enemy, right? The police, city, state, and federal level carry badges that recognizes and identifies them as authorities in law enforcement. Educational institutions, schools, and colleges recognize scholastic achievement by placing students on what they call the honor roll and awarding diplomas and certificates of degrees. Stanley Tookie Williams is the co-founder of the Los Angeles Crips Gang. He was recognized and nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize, I think maybe six times, for his literacy achievement in writing anti-violence, motivational and inspirational children's books while incarcerated on death row, and the list goes on. He deserves a badge of honor. Malcolm X also was incarcerated. Turned his whole life around. Deserve a badge of honor. Anybody who turns their life around, in or outside of prison, you deserve a badge of honor. You deserve recognition from the community. anybody. Anyway, though, back to the article. You know, they were talking about, you know, the lady was, you know, talking about how Martin Luther King, you know, was into this whole thing about, you know, the aim was to fill the jails up, right, with people protesting to delegitimize the prevailing power structure. And at that time, it was overt racism. If you think it's racism now, and I don't know, but it's probably some places in the United States where it's very overt. But back in them days, they was, you know, doing, they like Emmett Till, they just took him out of his grandparents' house, beat him, torture him, and murder him. You know, threw him in the Tallahassee River somewhere. That kind of stuff. Like, you know, not even mask. It just came and got this kid and murdered and tortured him. Tortured and murdered him. You understand what I'm saying? You got these people that were lynched in horrific ways. What's his name? Hayes Turner and stuff like that. You know, things like that was just happening back then. And these guys were fighting in their way against being persecuted in this country. So they said, now they're going to want to say today imprisonment is not an act of resistance, but a fact of life for some people. It's both the product and cause of social collapse in many black communities where full jails do not challenge racial inequalities, but sustain them. So, you know, blacks are and minorities are targeted by law enforcement. You know, how that happened, and just look at the history of the country. It's always been targeted by law enforcement. The origin of law enforcement was to, when it first started out, they were kept, you know, suppressing the slaves. They would try to keep the slaves in order and things like that. We're not going to, I'm not going to go too far into that. Just in California, they spent $47,102 per inmate per year. That's a lot. I mean, as my brother said, it's a business. Prison is a business. People make money off of prison. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I want to chime in on your show about this topic. The question is, you say, is it a badge of honor? And I had to stop and think about how does it become a badge of honor? You know, who advertises that? And something came to mind about something that I seen over YouTube or the internet, where a guy was talking about how they infiltrated the music industry, hip hop, to influence criminal activity and blacks to be sent to prison. And that got me thinking, how effective is that? And now I'm looking at it as very effective, because half of the music, majority of the music, is about prison life, drug life, you know, degenerative type styling. So they have a portal for advertisement, and they turned that thing that we should shun upon and made it glamorous. So now, you know, like 50 Cent got shot a couple times. Now other people coming out talking about how many times they got shot, and that becomes like, yo, he got shot 10 times, so he more real of a believer. We want to listen to his music. Oh, this dude, he been in prison for 20 years. So, yeah, we think he real tough, he a gangster, and we want to hear his story. And so they pay him. They get paid from that. Now the kid that's going to school.
Who's they?
The artists. We're talking about artists. Artists and.
But I know the artists. Who pays them? Who pays who?
The record companies are paying them. Governors are paying them. States are paying them to keep these people influenced into going to jail by, you know, putting this type of information out there, rap about drugs, murder, you know, degrading women, violence. And it's a lot of money made off of that. So now you got these kids out here who are in a school system as of today that only gives them one sheet of paper to come home. Then when they come home and they do that one sheet of paper and they get ready to go outside their community, mostly everything they see is owned by someone else, and they see themselves as just buyers. They don't see themselves as owning anything. And say again?
No vision.
No vision. But they
have
one vision in mind. They have one vision in mind. I can be this gangster. I can be that dude, and I can make money from doing this, and I'm going to get some street cred. And that street cred is going to give me this. And now, it used to be people would be afraid to go to jail. You know, I don't want to go to jail. You know, you got some people that can deal with it, but a lot of people not sitting around thinking, I can go to jail, I can deal with it. But when it's overpopulated and the people that's coming out are talking about how they dealt with it and it's being pacified, yeah, you're going to have more people. All right, I'll do that bid for this. And when they get inside there, they can do that bid. Because it's designed for them to be there. They already been accustomed to it before they even got there. There's a lot of people in there they going to know already. So
misery loves company.
Absolutely. So I think it has its advertisement. And I think we the people out here, even black folks, we support the advertisement because we also support the violent movies. And we buy the rap, and we imitate the art because it is our lives, but we imitate it even more so, you know, to 100%. That now the children hear that. You know, I was just at a kid's party, and the music that they played was the music for adults, but it was supposed to be for kids. So they getting that influence early on.
What's a kid? What does it mean to be a kid? What's the age? Give me an age for a kid.
Oh, I'm talking about a five-year-old party, five-year-old to 12. And they listening to stuff that I know when I was a kid at that age, I was not able to listen to it. If I was listening to it, it was on a record, and I played it when my mom wasn't around. But, no. The other thing is these kids also have information given to them through cell phones, laptops, computers. So, you know, they glamorize this lifestyle. They're not afraid of it. They're not.
So let me ask you a question. Let me see if I'm getting this right. Did you just say it's an honor to be shot 8 times, 50 cents to be shot like 8 or 9 times? That's an honor?
It is if you can make money from that story.
Okay, I think even 50 Cent didn't want to get shot 8 times. You understand what I'm saying?
Right, but it was the fact that he got shot 8 times and doing gangster music, or what they call gangster music, that gave him that badge of honor to say he
street
ain't the dude to be messed with. Yeah.
Oh, he ain't the dude to be messed with?
Yeah.
Well, if it wasn't that guy, why they shoot him 8 times? I don't understand that. That don't make sense to me. He's not the dude to mess with, but why did they shoot him 8 times?
I don't know why they shot him 8 times. I know it had something to do with the lifestyle that he was involved in, you know.
No, I don't mean it. Yeah, I don't mean it like that. I mean it. I'm saying if he's not the dude to be messed with, how did they shoot him 8 times?
Well, at that time, he was the dude that could be messed with. But because that story came out, he was able to tell his story to music and make rhymes and get money. So he escalated his money and he let people know, hey, look, this happened to me, but I got money and I got other tools now more than probably he didn't have it at the time, or he just ain't had that kind of entourage. But now he got that entourage, and so that manifested his gangsterism to a whole nother level. So, yeah, he's a businessman, but he's also that businessman that come from the streets. Sort of just like Trump. You know, Trump ain't the street dude, but he talked street to the lower whites. And they gravitated towards that. So, you know, we have these spokespeople out here. You know, of course we already know where to target. Police are targeting us. But then we're targeting us as well. And the badge of honor thing isn't coming from white folks. It's coming from us. We the ones talking about, yeah, you know, so-and-so just got out. You said, you know, they celebrate that. This dude getting out. He getting out, and he don't have no clue to what he's going to do or how things is going to go. And now he's telling his stories, and somebody else is sitting there, wow, he made it, I can make it. Not
what
making
you mean, make it in and get out?
Now, he can make it in, and I can get out. Exactly. And I'm going to come out with more information, and I'm, you know, people going to look up to me. Sort of the same thing with people wearing their pants down. I really, you know, see it that way. These dudes came out. Now, you know, got everybody running around with their pants down.
Hmm. So that's failing to do right. So you succeed at doing wrong. That's what you're basically saying.
As we always say, and we see it manifesting itself, and it's sure enough doing a good job of it too.
So in that sense, they are being successful, and in terms of being honored in that genre, that I guess that's an honor they bestow upon each other or those who are of that state of mind. As the brother said earlier.
Yeah. And the other part to it is I've seen people knowing that some of their loved ones that went in is 100% wrong, but they got T-shirts out, free this person, and other people rapping their names in songs. And we know these people are wrong. But we take a blind eye and ear, some of us, and think, you know, hey, don't snitch, don't do this. Like, all right, they did that, but, you know, we black, we ain't supposed to snitch. It's like we're attracted to doing wrong. With all the information we had today, I don't even understand. Like people say, it's education. I can't say that because the way I see things today, we have way more availability to education, technology, change is right in front of us. You know what I mean? Kid can go to school. They can lie to him about history, and he can go home and open up Wikipedia on his phone or his laptop or whatever and learn the truth. But that's
he's
not what they're
fail
attracted.
If he comes with that information. That's not on his history test. He's got the lie
on the
lie
yeah.
on the test.
You
got to so you can't bring that to the history class.
Yeah, well,
you know
same thing they do in the school they doing out here. People repeating the lie. You know it's wrong. If you're going to repeat that lie, that, you know, well, you know, you shouldn't have got this or that. Or these white folks is this and these white folks is that. Yeah, some of the white folks out there, they doing some bad things, but they not doing all the bad things. They ain't making you pull the trigger. They ain't making you sell drugs. They ain't making you want to be this type of person. Those are choices. And I don't know if this school can change those choices. I think that comes from a community, from a country. You know, there's other countries out there that have crime, but there's nothing like here. They make money off of it.
Right. You said, like you said, you have a point there that you just can't blame everything on the man, and he give you a poor education, therefore you resort to crime to get some of the things you want, you need, and things like that. I understand it. That's what you said, right? Did I get that right?
Yeah.
They blame it on the man? Okay. I understand that.
I'm not blaming it on the man. I'm blaming it on the men. I'm not blaming it on the man.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
On.
Right, you're not blaming it on the man. You blame it on take responsibility for your actions, you, no matter how bad the conditions are. You take be a stand-up, upright person. Do not yield to unrighteousness, no matter what your condition is. That's what you're saying.
Exactly.
Right. And that's an internal thing, and it has to be intergenerational, just like this thing that you were just talking about, the music. The music just didn't get slapped on us like that. It came in increments. You know what I'm saying? Everything came. The violence came in increments on the media. And what we have apparently is we have the media film imitating life, life imitating film, that mixture of that kind of thing. And then we have the media, like you said, promoting it psychologically. You know, because we had a conversation about is the music making people do this shit? Is that the case? Just play some other kind of music, and I guess we had this problem all would be solved, right? You know, but like hypnosis, it only gets you to do things you want to do. So if you are or have that in you, then you'll go that way. You understand what I'm saying? So, but the music has I think it has an impact on the people. You know, but at first I didn't think that because it didn't make me want to do it. But you can't look at you and say that everybody's like you. You understand what I'm saying? The music doesn't make me want to go kill nobody. You can tell I can listen to all the killing music I want, and it's not I'm not gonna be like, oh yeah, I can shoot my night. You know, and I'm talking about me now. I'm talking about me a while ago. But maybe some people are like that, and especially if they've been hearing it since they've been a child. You know, like you said, there was like 5 year old kids, and they're not able to separate that. You know, okay, this is not anything I should want to aspire to do, because sometimes the things that are in your environment are you view them as okay because it's in your environment. You understand what I'm saying? So if I'm listening to killing and dope dealing and bitches and hoes, you know what I'm saying? Then I'm thinking that's okay.
I know this guy that wrote a tune called "They Got Us Thinking That Is Okay," and it's a true story. They do. They have you thinking that it's okay. And the funny thing to it is, not really funny, but sad thing is that they know when it's wrong because they don't want it to happen to them, but they glorify when they do it to other people, which is a sickness to their own people. You know, and I think the other part to this is that the penalty for some of the things that they're doing are not harsh enough. And I'm not saying there should be a death penalty or anything like that, but it should be something that people is not going to want to take a chance on or gamble on. You know, like you go to Saudi Arabia and you break in someone's house, you know, hey, you could be put to death, even though you ain't hurt nobody. You know, just the idea that you broke in there and hurt someone. So, you know, their crime rate of break-ins and certain things is really low. And, the government's not going to play, you know, whatever it is that they have over there. They're just not going to play with you. They're going to, you know, here we say we're going to use one person as an example. There, they're going to use every person that come through that door as an example. You know, so it ain't like one gets off with a lawyer. No. You don't get off with your lawyer. We caught you. You did this. You broke the law. You know the law. This is what's going to happen. So here, the way I see it is we have criminals running the same system that they're trying to police people on, and they're criminals. So I don't know how we're going to combat it because this country is built off of criminals. They were the criminals from England and Spain, you know, and they set up shop. So their laws were made for them but used on us. Because they're all criminals, too. You know, we vote for the same people. They're still criminals. I don't care what professional name they call themselves, governor, politician, whatever, senator. You're a crook. And, you know, only difference is in order to catch you in a trick game, we got to use your own people, you know, like they're doing with Trump to impeach him. You know, they knew he was a crook from the beginning. But what you going to say? Because it's crooks putting them in there. The people think they did something, but they're not. And that's the other problem. People think we're doing something, but we're not. The one thing that the people can do is stop doing wrong. Black, white, just stop doing it. And for black folks, just stop. That's it. Just stop. Take care of your own. Police your own neighborhoods. Go back. Stop trying to integrate and fit in. We have never fit in. And they're trying to show us every day, you don't fit in this because you're not a part of our agenda. We use you, and they're going to keep using us as long as we keep trying to fit in. So you want money, you're going to fit in, be a drug dealer, and try to get their money. And they're going to fit you in their prison. Separate yourself.
Okay, well, you know, as a part of that, you got to get to be some children. And like you said, you got to make that environment an environment that's nurturing. So, you know, they can't be listening to stuff that's like you said, stuff you couldn't listen. Know why you couldn't listen to it a long time ago? Because it was negative. Your parents said, oh, no, that's bad. My parents said, that's bad. Don't do that. That's bad. That's bad. That's not good. We had that kind of thing going on when we was kids. That's bad. That's bad. That's good. That's bad. What is that? That line is almost non-existent now.
It's void.
Right. That line right there is almost line. And some... I'm not saying it for everybody, again, because I can't speak for everybody, but what I see in some environments is non-existent, like in the community, for instance. Like stuff you hear people walking down the street saying, We didn't hear that when we was coming up. You know what I'm saying? Doing walking down the street, things like that. So, you know, and it's nothing for that. You know, come outside and see somebody posted up with a gun, an AR, a 15 posted up against the wall. You know, somebody, you know, letting off a couple of rounds. That ain't nothing. You can hear that while you're eating, while you're trying to eat a meal. You hear that while you're watching television. It's going down.
You know, I'm going to say this also, because this just came to mind, of how it's being celebrated. And it's being celebrated also from one of the areas that we would think that it shouldn't be celebrated, and that's through our women.
What's that?
That's through the women. Nowadays, they want that dude that they think is the bad dude. They're going to have sex with him. They ain't going, you know, this dude over here working his behind off, trying to have some morals, integrity, and do the right thing. He the corny dude, you know. Earlier this week, today I talked to someone, and the guy was saying how he was bullied because he was smart. Like, he got built for being smart, you know.
Right.
And we have our women out here. Yeah, we have our women who say they're in fear, but they're not in fear when they want to get their needs met and fantasize about being with this type of person. So now all the dudes is out here trying to be that, and all the women are trying to be the hoes, you know. So the script has been flipped, you
who
know.
Flipped the script,
and,
though? Who did it? Who flipped it? I mean, did they flip themselves, or is it like are they getting some? They getting some help? They getting some help flipping themselves? You know what I'm saying?
They had some help. And I think the help came through the technology and the idea of how much technology and how much information is being pushed. I mean, you know, I don't think these kids and most people would have this influence if they didn't have 24/7 information on it. You know, we grew up with maybe 6 channels. If you was a kid, you watched cartoons, you had a half hour. After that half hour was up, you either outside socializing, playing, and your mind is steadfast on something else. But now, they can watch these videos 24/7, you know, glamorize, and, you know, kids got way more money now. They can go to the store and buy makeup and paint themselves, and they can become the characters that they see on the videos and hearing the music. And now, not only that, they can act it out and become that because technology has allowed it. So, you know, nowadays we have computers, we got digital recorders. Before, you wanted to be a rapper, a singer, but being in that industry, you had to have money, you had to have connections, it took time, it wasn't no overnight thing. So right now we have instant gratification through technology, and kids have this information. And just like with anything, you know, hey, you start off early with it without knowing how to really deal with this. You know, you started drinking at 9 years old, you're an alcoholic by 13, 14, nobody taught you the responsibility. And so,
okay.
You know,
so what? So what I'm hearing is we lack ethical and moral fiber. That's what that sounds like.
Well,
and that contributes to our incarceration and the whole culture. Say what?
The whole country dropped the ball. I mean, I know this goes deeper than what we're talking about. I know it goes back to religion and spirituality. You know, I started to see the breakdown when they started talking about the churches. You know, you can't pray. You know, you can't say Jesus. You can't say Merry Christmas. You know, that whole stripping of the religion, which actually taught you some morals and integrity and, you know, boundaries and how to live. But after a while, yo, all that's being stripped away. It's being stripped away. And, you know, not only the Christian nations, but the Islamic nations too, you know, and that's part of their agenda. And I just see why buying into their plan when we know their plan is like they got their playbook right in front of you and they're telling you what they're going to do to you. But we're acting like, no, they ain't going to do that. We got to do this. But this is what they do.
Maybe we all don't know that.
And we all don't.
Some people don't view it that way. You know, they just, you know, it's not them against us, or maybe some people are just accepting that's the way it is. You know how it goes. Some people say can't do nothing about it. You know, I've been a slave. My granddaddy was a slave. My granddaddy daddy was a slave. We slave. What do you want?
That's the worst mentality, and one of the main things I don't like. People say, what are we going to do about it? We can't do nothing about it. It's not about doing something about everybody, but it's a start to do something. Do something about yourself. Do something about your children, your household, people you know. Have a conversation just like this radio show. This ain't about nothing. This is about something. And the more it keeps going, it's going to manifest. Who knows? You know, we might be dead and gone, but from these earlier shows, the seed is there. We don't know where it's going to grow, but we know it had to be planted. And that's what I'm Ooh. Starting to see. That's people wanting to plant.
Man, I hope that's true, because I would love to be part of the reason why people have more to say than about the how fat somebody's butt is, who got killed, and, you know, how much money you making on the streets, and, you know, just nonsense, sports teams and whatever kind of nonsense you might be in. And, you know, it's we need some things that's going to promote our, you know, life, you know, support, you know, and it's on this planet, really. And like you said, not just us, everybody, really.
Everybody. But for us, I think that should be our investment, you know, that if we really want to see this, we got to invest into ourselves and into the change, you know. And I know that's hard, because it should start with family, and sometimes it's not family. But I learned
wow.
something, though. I learned a valuable thing from a sister that I work with. She showed me that family are the people of like minds and believers. So you can have an extended family. It could be a stranger out in the street, but y'all believe the same. You know, that person is looking out for your best interest. You look out for theirs. And then you have your internal family, you know, and you still have the same thing, but you don't all share the same values and beliefs. So when you have other people that are believers, that's a family. You know, I learned this also in Islam, too, you know, especially with children. You know, every man is a father, because the word father is teacher. So you're taking on a teaching role, so they become extensions, you know, which is a good thing. And I think we had that at one time, you know, without the titles of Islam or Christianity. I think we had that coming from slavery, you know, from tribalism and our mentality as a people, you know, being together. And now we're far from it.
Well, maybe we getting a little closer to it. Maybe. Some way, somehow. Some people are having this conversations like this, like we have on this show, somewhere else. I'm sure this can't be the only place that's holding this conversation. Matter of fact, I know for a fact it's not. So maybe slowly but surely we are moving toward out of darkness. Maybe this is our dark ages, you know what I'm saying? And so maybe we're coming up out of it.
Well, you know, they say, I don't know how to quote this, but they say when the Lord calls those that know him and hear his voice. So for those that are conscious, that are waking up, they're hearing the call. And I think it's an internal call, you know. Some going to heed and some aren't. And I believe that it's all going to come to a harsh end. But in the end, it's going to be those that hurt, you know, those that hurt. Hopefully we can get a lot more people hearing, but we're listening. So our job is to plant the seeds, maybe do a little bit of watering, and focus on
right.
the rest of it.
That's right. That's what I say. Just plant the seeds, start the spark. You know what I'm saying? You know, the world wasn't made in a day, six periods, some say, right?
Absolutely.
Right?
And we don't know what 7 days mean.
That's right.
They
so,
say
you know,
7 days,
hey.
We don't know. That could be 700 years and 7 days. We don't know.
Yeah, that's right. Each one of those days could be, they don't say, that could be 1,000 years. Right.
Yep.
That's true. That's another show. But you know that
I'll be
you know, but so you know, so it's just for the black brothers, y'all listening, minorities, all Latino brothers, listen, you're being targeted, and you targeting yourself when you act out certain types of behaviors. So we must. I understand you're frustrated, you're angry. Could probably bring breeds that. You know what I'm saying? Can bring that out in a person as a response to not being able to get their needs met and being responsible for being able to get not only your needs met but the needs of your children and your woman or you know however. You know, I understand that's frustrating, but we must not ever look towards going to prison or honor behavior that allows us, affords us prison, a sentence in a penitentiary somewhere. We don't want that. You know what I'm saying? Even if you are doing something that is illegal, I'm sure you shouldn't, you know, it's a good idea not to want to go to jail. And I don't understand that part. It's mind-boggling to me, you know, to even aspire to go there to be for recognition. You can get recognition on the street. Just do something different. Help somebody. You know what I'm saying? Group up together, you know, as a group, get together, preserve your community. You're going to make history if you do that. Turn it around. This community used to be a community where we killed people and sold a lot of dope. Now it's a community where old lady walked down the street with $500 in her hands. Nobody touch it. You know what I'm saying? Now it's a community where your car break down, you're going to get some assistance and you're not going to get robbed. You know what I'm saying? Why can't we turn it around like that? Why can't we, you know, value being an honorable person? You know what I'm saying? What's the problem with that? We don't need any more killers. We have more than enough killers. Let's do something different. That's not working for us. And you ask the families of the people who have been murdered. That doesn't work. Even for the guys that's out there in the streets, that doesn't work. They don't want to be killed. That's not. Let's do something positive. We have a. They say one in every 15 black children have a parent in prison. We don't need that. That's a, like as the brother said, that now you're cutting the head off. Take away the head of the snake, right? We're not snakes, though. But if you take the head, the snake's going to die. So you're taking the leadership away out of the community. There are more African-American men. It's a study from Ohio State University. They said Michelle Alexander said there are more African-American men in prison on probation or on parole in the U.S. now than were enslaved in 1850. That's before the Civil War, y'all. Come on, y'all. And they have the right to enslave you. But involuntary servitude if you are incarcerated. But they're, listen, she also said that because felons lose their right to vote, more African-American men are disenfranchised in 2004 than in 1870, right after the Reconstruction. Come on, y'all. Listen to see what's happening. We are disenfranchising ourselves when we submit ourselves to criminal activity and aspire to go to prison. That's not helping us as individuals or families and as people. That's not going to help us at all. We can't get anywhere. That's going backwards. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Black women are 7 times more likely than white women to be in prison. Almost 1 in 10 young black men are behind bars. 1 in 10. Come on. We can do better than this. This is ridiculous. So, let me see. What else? Here's another thing that happened. They say, this guy, what is this guy? Mike Reynolds. He's of California. He initiated the California Three Strikes Initiative after his daughter was murdered by a convicted felon. And he believes the key social factor was an overgenerous welfare system. Anybody know about welfare, how much money people get on welfare? That encourages black women to have children and black men to abscond, to leave the family in order that they can get more money on welfare and stuff like that. But what in the world? What? He said that's not, that's far, that's all. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Black unemployment currently stands at almost 16%. They say we are about 12 to 13% of the population. for young black men between the ages of 16 and 19 at those at risk of entering the criminal justice system, it is almost 50%, 16 and 19. Martin Luther King said 10 days before his death, "I think it's absolutely necessary now to deal massively and militantly," it's Martin Luther King, y'all, not Malcolm X, "with the economic problem," which goes back to I know you said that we should take responsibility for our actions, and I believe that we should. But we also, as part of our actions, need to deal with the economic problems that facilitate the conditions that motivate people to do or commit crimes. You understand what I'm saying? Like poverty, extreme poverty, and things like that. So that's probably what got Martin Luther King killed. Because he changed the game, and he said, absolutely necessary to deal massively and militantly with the economic problem, because now you're attacking the people who are in control. So you got to go. So he was shot 10 days after that. A man of peace calling the troops together for massive and militant approach to addressing our economic problem. And he was seen talking with Malcolm X, too. That's, you know what I'm saying? That's not just a black condition. I'm sure there are some conscious white folks who are aware of this issue. Dick Gregory said Martin Luther King was shot in the neck and alive when he got to the hospital and was spat upon and smothered to death. That's how bad some people do not want you to rise from the divided dead and the diminished. That's from Dick Gregory's book. I read that in his book. But King was a leader who was killed in a war for a good cause. He and many others were beaten and incarcerated for a good cause. I'm not sure that we have been worthy of their sacrifice. He must be rolling over in his grave by now. The prisons are filled with people who idolize, glamorize, as the brother just said, perpetuate and cultivate conditions he had hoped to abort. And I don't have an answer to this scenario. I think each person has to dig down in themselves and decide to make a change. If that's the only way change is going to come apart about, if that when you decide, hey, you know, come on, let's use our minds. We all have minds, and just because you're committing a crime, that don't mean that you are not capable of making an assessment of your situation and saying, hey, this is not working. And ask yourself, do you want your child to be in prison, to feel he has to commit crimes to survive, or even more, commit crimes to feel like he is somebody? Wasn't Martin Luther King saying, I am somebody? Wasn't he the one saying that? I am somebody? I'm saying that in the 60s. You know what I'm saying? And blacks didn't have a whole lot in the 60s. They had less than they had now. You are somebody. You within earshot of what I'm saying. You are somebody. All you have to do is be somebody. You are already somebody. You was born somebody. You don't need validation from a correctional institution to say that you're somebody. You are somebody. Just be somebody. Martin Luther King also wrote a letter when he was in jail. Yes, Martin Luther King was in jail, for you folks that don't know that. But here's the difference. This man in jail, he's in jail for a cause, not just because. He's not trying to get validation from being incarcerated. He's protesting unrighteousness. That's the difference. He said, we will have to repent in this generation for not merely for the vitriolic words, this words with bitter criticism and malice and nasty, cruel words and actions of bad people, but like the brother just said, but for the appalling silence of the good people. Right? So all it takes for evil to succeed is for good people to do nothing. situation. What are we going to do? Here's another situation I read that I'm going to share this with you. This is one of the sickest things I've ever heard of right here. It's this guy. He's in jail in Minnesota. He's a 42-year-old man. He's in jail, right? This is from the Marshall Project. I got this here. So he's in jail, and he says a man with a piece of paper running around bragging about being a gang member, celebrating his criminal behavior, you know, every word out of his mouth was about beating this or robbing that and some new and improved way to sell dope. He said this guy was in jail doing that. And he kept going. They was standing, you know, waiting to use the phone. He said the guy kept, you know, bobbing up and down, you know, showing off. He had this thing, this paper on his chest. And he threw his hands up like Muhammad Ali after he won a fight, you know, cheerleading his own criminal success, I guess. Because if you are a criminal and you've done those things, I guess you're successful at being a criminal. It drew an even more spirited reaction from some. Some people laughed and others jumped up and down, making an, oh, no, he didn't face it. And a couple of guys looked disgusted. And then some other guys started throwing up gang signs, to, you know, with their fingers, because this guy was throwing up a gang sign and stuff like that. Said, so anyway, the guy just bobbing around, you know, celebrating his criminal behavior. Clipped onto the front of his shirt was a full-page color photo of a young man shot in the face lying dead in the street. He said the guy looked like he's about 19 years old. So it turns out this was a picture the prosecution used as evidence during his trial. The guy was running around, you know, parade, having a one-man parade for his homicide that he committed. He's bragging about it and strutting around with the photograph clipped to his chest. He said, like a badge of honor. Some offenders actually cheered him on. This is sad. There were even older men encouraging his behavior. Even sadder. No, where's the wisdom? Young guys, totally hooked on this street life, gazed at him in awe. The younger guys, they're looking at him like, oh, I'm gonna, like, you know. He said you could see they almost instantly idolized him. He said it was sickening to see. And this is a 42-year-old man that's incarcerated. I think he's doing 10 years or so. But he's not in there boasting and being proud about why he's in there. Here's a guy that's being proud about shooting somebody in the face. And others idolizing him and edging him on. This is a problem. So is that something to be proud of, to boast about and have an exhibit about? This guy has no remorse, no shame, no fear. He plans to continue the cycle of violence. When did life become so cheap? His and his victims. He appears to be oblivious to the fact that he has destroyed at least two lives directly and has made a negative impact on a host of family and friends and community members, not to mention those young guys in the prison. Where's the honor? I had a discussion about crime and consequences, and I think the brother just alluded to that also when he talked about, you know, it's not the severity of consequences don't fit the crime. The lack of respect for life is a result of the respect for life of the perpetrator. Basically, America is soft on crime. Do you think that gangbanger would be parade and throwing up gang signs if he knew he was going to be executed for shooting a kid in the face in 5 minutes? Do you think he would have killed him knowing he would die 5 minutes after it, being absolutely determined that he murdered that kid? That's something to think about. That's the way some people feel about that. I think we need to breathe and breed some ethical and moral fortitude into our culture. it will help some people stop themselves from committing these heinous crimes. It will help steer some people away from anti-lifestyles that perpetuate getting a badge of honor or as a goal in life for validation on the street or in prison. You know, okay, we need to perpetuate behavior that won't facilitate conditions for violence. We are too violent with each other. And it's not just about violence. It's even just the crimes that we commit against each other. It's ridiculous. A criminal record legally validates your criminal status. Criminal behavior validates you as a criminal. You don't really need to go to jail for that to get a badge of honor. You got it. You got some paper that says who you are if you went to being a criminal. How many want ads do you see that say criminal wanted, apply now, or qualifications, must have criminal record, badge of honor from county, state, or federal correction institution? How many places you see is asking for that? Anyway, they say far as criminal records go, that's a high hurdle to get over. Black men without criminal records get callbacks from job interviews at rates below those of white men with criminal records. Black men without criminal records get callbacks for jobs, interviews for rates below those of white men with criminal records. And for black men with a record, the callback rate is almost negligible. Y'all hear that? That's arrest with no conviction. Imagine being an ex-convict. The badge of honor is not working for these guys, especially for the black guys. In short, employees don't honor the badge of honor. That will compound the economic catalyst that drives some people to commit crime. Poverty sucks. I agree with that. But prison is no place for man or beast. Poverty breeds low self-esteem, aggression, jealousy, anger, crime. I get it. Apparently, prison does the same. From the NAACP, Center for Children in Poverty, not the NAACP, the NCCP, the National Center for Children in Poverty, they say 10%, 4.2 million are white in poverty. 27%, 4 million are Latino. 33%, 3.6 million are African American. 12%, 400,000 are Asian. 40%, 200,000 are American Indian. That's a lot. If you believe poverty is something that's driving you to prison, then the African American, that is a reason why the African American population and these Latino populations are up in those prisons. And apparently these American Indians have a high incarceration rate also. Those poor children become adults. You got to understand that. There is no honor in being poor, but there should be honor in your being. There is no honor in being poor, but there should be honor in your being. Break the cycle of incarceration. Start the cycle of regeneration. Each one, reach one. Each one, teach one. We are more than we appear to be. I don't care where you are, death row, incarcerated, on the corner, whatever, in a college, in a professional capacity, we are much more than what we have been showing the world. Each one reach one, each one teach one. Till next week, y'all, let's do something. I'm out.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.